Following are comments on William Shakespeare's The Two Noble Kinsmen, Act 4. There is at least 200 now with child by him. There must be 4. The jailer is informed that the Duke, thanks to Palamon, has pardoned him and his daughter for the knight's escape, but also that his daughter has gone mad. Everyone undertakes to mollify her by supporting her delusions. In Act 4, Scene 1, the anxious jailer gets good news from his friends that the people Theseus values most, Hippolyta, Emilia, and Pirithous, have all lent their voices to a pardon for the jailer and his daughter, and even more significantly, that Palamon himself has come clean about what happened, and so clinched the pardon for both. Still, there's a dark cloud hanging over the scene, which is that the daughter has gone mad with distress over Palamon's betrayal and possible death, and her father's potential culpability for the escape. Unfortunately, as the wooer attests, she is far gone, so simply hearing the truth is no longer of service to her. The wooer relates some bits of the daughter's mad songs, which are moving in their revelation of her anguish. She says she will bring to the Duke, quote-unquote, 100 black-eyed maids that love as I do, with chaplets on their heads of daffodillies, with cherry lips and cheeks of damask roses, and all will dance an antic for the Duke, and beg his pardon. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 72 through 76. All in all, what the wooer describes by way of the daughter's songs will remind hearers of Ophelia's deranged performances in Hamlet Act 4, Scene 2, and her gestures among the rushes and flowers that surround her will surely bring us back to Gertrude's sad, lovely word painting of Ophelia's last moments in Act 4, Scene 4. The wooer explains that he saved the daughter from drowning, but she got away and had to be tracked down by 3 or 4 men. It's only the romance or tragicomic quality of the two noble kinsmen that preserves the jailer's daughter from Ophelia's fate. The jailer's daughter is soon brought into the presence of her father and the family's friends with disturbing results. She plays up Palamon's sexual prowess in her bawdy effusions, quote-unquote, all the young maids of our town are in love with him, she says, adding that, quote-unquote, there is at least 200 now with child by him. There must be 4. Act 4, Scene 1, lines 125 through 126 and 128 through 129. The scene ends with the jailer and everyone in the room playing along with the daughter's deranged references to being the, quote-unquote, master of a ship. Act 4, Scene 1, line 141, as she says, quote-unquote, come, weigh my hearts cheerily. Act 4, Scene 1, line 146. He's swarth and meager, of an eye as heavy as if he had lost his mother. Emilia, gazing at pictures of Palamon and Arcite, finds that she can't choose between them. Theseus looks forward to re-greeting the cousins and meeting the 3 picked men that each will be bringing to the combat. In Act 4, Scene 2, Emilia, heartbroken at the coming violence to be done for her love, takes up 2 small portraits of Palamon and Arcite and tries once more to make her choice. Of Arcite, she says, among other things, quote-unquote, what an eye of what a fiery sparkle and quick sweetness has this young prince. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 12 through 14. Of Palamon, at first she speaks less than enthusiastically. Quote unquote, he's swarth and meager, of an eye as heavy as if he had lost his mother. A still temper, no stirring in him, no alacrity. Of all this, meaning Arcite's, sprightly sharpness, not a smile. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 27 through 30. In spite of these supposed disadvantages, Emilia almost instantly declares Arcite, quote-unquote, a changeling and, quote-unquote, a mere gypsy, to her Palamon, Act 4, Scene 2, line 44. In sum, Emilia just can't choose permanently between the two cousins, though she recognizes something else. As she says, quote-unquote, I am sotted, utterly lost. My virgin's faith has fled me. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 45 through 46. A great deal of descriptive verse follows as Theseus and Pirithous review the comrades that Palamon and Arcite have brought with them. Quote unquote, they are all the sons of honor, declares Pirithous, speaking for everyone present. Act 4, Scene 2, line 141. Hippolyta tells Emilia not to weep, quote unquote, till they weep blood. And Theseus all but blames Emilia's attractiveness for the battle to come. He says to her, quote unquote, you have steeled him with your beauty. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 148 through 149. A fight to the death is imminent. Alas, 'tis a sore life they have in the other place. A doctor says the jailer's daughter has come down with, quote unquote, a most thick and profound melancholy. The cure follows the principle of like curing like. The wooer will continue to pay court to the daughter, only this time in the guise of Palamon. In Act 4, Scene 3, the jailer speaks with the family doctor, telling him that, quote unquote, she is continually in a harmless distemper, sleeps little, altogether without appetite, save often drinking, dreaming of another world and a better. Act 4, Scene 3, lines 3 through 5. After dabbling with classical-era pictures of Elysium, the daughter affords both of these observers an almost Dantean vision of hell in its gruesome particulars. Quote unquote, alas, 'tis a sore life they have in the other place, such burning, frying, boiling, hissing, howling, chattering, cursing, says she. Act 4, Scene 3, lines 27 through 29. A considerable amount of that suffering is ascribed to illicit and depraved sexual desire. By way of diagnosis, the doctor offers this, quote unquote, how she continues this fancy, 'tis not an engraft madness, but a most thick and profound melancholy. Act 4, Scene 3, lines 43 through 44. To this assumption, he adds something reminiscent of Lady Macbeth's physician. Quote unquote, I think she has a perturbed mind, which I cannot minister to. Act 4, Scene 3, line 54. So far, this is hardly a promising diagnosis. Then, however, this cautious doctor devises an excellent strategy to cure the jailer's daughter. The core of it is that her longtime wooer is to come to her, says the doctor, every day in the disguise of Palamon, and be as agreeable and loving towards her as may be. The sum of it is, quote unquote, it is a falsehood she is in, which is with falsehoods to be combated. Act 4, Scene 3, lines 84 through 85. We will await this remedy's efficacy, but it is certainly a kinder, gentler fix than that devised most recently by Theseus to deal with Palamon and Arcite's absurdly idealistic passion for Emilia. Thanks for listening. This audio lecture was recorded on Monday, December 8th, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition, 4-volume genre-based format.